From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. In college athletics, there are definitely haves and have-nots. In Eugene, the University of Oregon is definitely a have, but up the road in Corvallis, Oregon State might be largely perceived as a have-not after losing out on conference realignment. But the president of OSU is determined not to let that perception or reality linger. Today on the show, you'll hear from President Jayathi Murthy about efforts to increase funding for the athletics program in an attempt, as she says, to win the new Pac-12. A foundation has granted the university millions of dollars, and Murthy hopes for a local match in order to give OSU athletes a huge boost in resources. Then, at the end of the show, we'll talk to one of our reporters about how thousands of rural customers of eWeb are being moved to a local cooperative. If the U of O is an 800-pound gorilla of college athletics, Oregon State is more like a plucky 100-pound chimpanzee. But efforts by the university president and a major funder are looking to pour resources into the athletic department, coaches, and players to try and level this playing field. Jayathi Murthy, the Oregon State University president. President Murthy, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us.
That's wonderful to be talking to you today, particularly.
Yeah, a big announcement by the university and the university's foundation to invest in student athletes. Let's start with that. Tell us what's happening at OSU.
Well, today we announced an amazing gift from the Wayne and Gladys Valley Foundation for $24 million to support revenue sharing for OSU athletics. This is a challenge gift. It's called the Valley Challenge. And the idea is that our community would match the $24 million gift with another $24 million. And so we're calling on our donors to match the Valley Challenge gift that's been given to us. So if we are successful and we have every intention to be successful, the total money raised for revenue sharing for OSU athletics would be $48 million, which is a very substantial sum. This is to be done over 3 years, and all OSU sports count. So revenue sharing philanthropy to any OSU sport absolutely counts towards the match. And so that's the gift. It's really exciting. It puts us in a very good position as we enter the new Pac-12 conference, which kicks off on July 1 of this year.
What is this going to allow OSU athletics to do?
Well, as you know, revenue sharing is now a feature of collegiate athletics in our country. And the numbers are pretty substantial. This year, for example, the cap is $20.5 million. So universities are allowed, college athletics is allowed to provide $20.5 million. Every university is allowed to do that, to share revenue with its athletes. Now, that's a cap, but it's a pretty substantial cap. And this particular gift allows us to push towards that cap. What does that mean for our teams? It means that our coaches and our athletes can have the resources needed to compete in an increasingly competitive athletic space. So we can aspire to lead the new Pac-12 and to win decisively in the new Pac-12.
Okay. Maybe you can explain to our listeners sort of the collaboration between OSU and the OSU Foundation and this this other foundation, the Wayne and Gladys Valley Foundation. How did this sort of all come together?
Well, your readers may know that the way fundraising is done at OSU is that the OSU Foundation, which sits outside the university, leads all fundraising for the university. It's a very tight collaboration. We collaborate with them and with their CEO, Sean Scoville, to lay out the goals for the university. And these goals are arrived at through collaboration. And so the foundation and I and our professors, our deans, our community, as well as their fundraisers work together to reach our philanthropic goals. Now, the Valley Foundation is a long-standing supporter of OSU. And so this is pretty old. So Wayne and Gladys Valley have always been our long-term supporters, and they have supported many, many projects across the university. And when their foundation was set up, the foundation now continues beyond their lifetimes and has been supporting us for many, many years. And their interests are very broad. I mean, they've certainly supported athletics, for sure. You'll see many athletics facilities named for them. But they've supported research and they've supported academics. And, so their reach across the university is very broad and very effective. And, so we were talking to, the folks from the Valley Foundation, and they understood that this particular moment was a critical moment in the life of OSU Athletics. The new conference was coming up. We intend to win in the new conference. We will need resources to do that. And they stepped up to provide those resources. And they did it, I think, in a very creative way because they challenged our donors and our fan base to step up and match their generosity. I have every confidence that that's going to happen. So it's a really exciting time.
Yeah. In the announcement, the phrase rapidly evolving collegiate athletics landscape is used. And I'm wondering, in conjunction with these, with this grant, with this money, how is OSU evolving to compete in this new college athletics environment?
Talk about rapidly evolving, right? I mean, the kind of evolution that's happened in the space of, 2 to 3 years is truly head spinning. And a lot of it is, of course, driven by the House case and all the settlements that happened as a result of that case.
Mm-hmm.
So things like revenue sharing are now part of the landscape. Name, image, likeness is a part of the landscape. And so what that does is that it places very significant pressure on resources, on money, really. And so all of us are retooling and reorienting ourselves to be able to meet those new demands. And let me give you an example, all right? You may know that we are searching for our new AD
mm-hmm.
because our current AD, Scott Barnes, has decided to step down as AD come September 1, and he'll be with us as a senior advisor for another year beyond that. So we are searching for a new AD. Now, one of the ways we're thinking about the AD is that they would, of course, need all the skills that a traditional AD would have. But another big part of it is they've got to be very savvy about business opportunities, about revenue opportunities, new streams of revenue, new ideas. So they're going to have to be very agile in the business space, in the revenue generation space. So that's what we're looking for in the new AD. And our administrative structure in athletics is also going to change. And we're now thinking about a chief revenue officer whose full-time job it is to actually develop these new revenue streams. And so the structure of athletics is also changing. Our coaches are much more focused on philanthropy, on NIL. They understand all of their, all the opportunities and constraints. And so we're all becoming much more focused on resourcing our athletics programs.
Okay. If you're just joining us, we're talking to the president of Oregon State University, Jayathi Murthy. President Murthy, I'm also wondering, from your perspective, and maybe the right term is both collaboration and balance, how do you balance athletics and academics resource-wise, but also just mind share and attention from you and your leadership team?
Oh, look, I mean, for me, athletics is very much a part of campus life, all right? You know, we are deeply, deeply focused on academics, of course. We're deeply, deeply focused on research. And we're deeply focused on athletics. They're all important parts of the campus enterprise and the higher ed enterprise, really. Right? And I think our campus understands that. We all understand that athletics, you know, as they say, is the front door to the university. It is what connects us to our alums. It connects us to our fans. It connects us to our donors. You know, I keep saying, I mean, I've never seen anything like it, particularly here in Oregon. I mean, people will drive for hundreds of miles to come in every weekend to watch all kinds of sports. I mean, football, men and women's basketball for sure. Baseball's got a huge fan base. People will come for gymnastics, wrestling, you name it. And that devotion is a source of connection with, you know, with our alums and fans and students. It's deeply valuable, right? And our faculty and our students understand that. So for me, it's a part of the total. Of course, it means you have to be careful with money and you have to balance all of these competing interests. But the other thing we should all understand is that philanthropy to athletics, the people who give to athletics, are also people who give to all the other parts of our enterprise. You know, the Valley Foundation is a prime example. I mean, they have given broadly across the OSU enterprise for academics, for research, for athletics, you name it.
Why don't you tell us your vision of what you hope, especially as it relates to OSU, the new Pac-12 will become, and, you know, specifically what OSU's position will be in that new conference?
Oh, let me say without any hesitation that we intend to win in the new Pac-12, all right? OSU and WSU rebuilt the Pac-12 with a great deal of tenacity, with a great deal of fight, and I will tell you that OSU didn't do it for nothing, all right? We did it, and, you know, and are proud of having rebuilt the Pac-12, and we go in with every intention to win, all right? So there's just no other, I can't, you know, say that any less emphatically. So that is the central proposition. However, you know, our desire to win also sits side by side with our desire to work with our Pac-12 colleagues on any number of things, right? So we're pulling together for the success of the conference. This is a new version of the conference, and we're all working together to make that conference successful. I will tell you that this is a set of like-minded people, right? I mean, these institutions are so similar to us in so many ways. Many of them are land-grant institutions. And so, you know, we share a certain kind of hunger and a certain kind of scrappiness. You know, we call ourselves a challenger brand, and I think that is actually true. We're willing to try new kinds of models, new kinds of enterprises, you know, to resource ourselves. And I find that, you know, in all the Pac-12 presidents' meetings that I've ever been in, is that there is really a willingness to take risk. And I, you know, see that and identify with a lot of that. Now, you know, other parts of our Pac-12 universities are also talking on the academic side. Some of our academic leadership is meeting. Student affairs folks are talking. So there's other kinds of collaboration shaping up as well. But on the playing field, we compete and we compete to win.
So much of, in this state, in Oregon, so much history around the rivalry between OSU and the University of Oregon. Do you feel like that can be replaced somehow, perhaps organically with another university? Because obviously, you know, the Civil War was part of the state's identity.
Yeah. I mean, there, you know, it's certainly a part of the state's identity, and there's, of course, feelings on both sides of that.
Mm-hmm.
Quote-unquote civil war, people who want the war, people who want a friendly war, et cetera, and people who want an actual war,
sure.
I suppose. But, you know, and look, I understand all of those things. There is, of course, heartbreak in some of that, and families who, you know, both beavers and ducks in them, and so there's a lot of feeling around that. But you know, the world changes and the world moves on, and there will be new rivalries. There'll be new taking of sides and new and hopefully friendly battles, and you know, so things will change, but you know, and nothing stands still. That's fine.
Sure. My last two questions for you is, for example, some people may cast college athletics in sort of terms of haves and have-nots. You know, power conferences with lots of money. I'm wondering, with this grant and with your commitment to winning, do you think this helps you level that playing field for Oregon State University?
I think it absolutely helps. I'm not blind to the fact that there are enormous amounts of money sloshing around in the college athletics universe, and there are, you know, universities with different levels, different capacities. But the truth is, at the end of the day, we got to decide what we're committed to, all right? I will tell you that the opportunities we afford our student athletes are incredibly important to their development, right? Much as I talk about winning and losing, at the end of the day, the focus is on our students and on our student athletes across the board.
My last question is just this idea of, and specifically with regard to the grant, but also your vision, is the idea of a diversity of resources to a diversity of athletic endeavors. Just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, we can't be blind to the fact that football, men and women's basketball, baseball, these are our four big winning sports that draw audiences. Of course, there's passion behind a lot of our other sports as well. There's no question that some of these sports are far more expensive than others, football, for example. And, you know, we've got to be realistic about what plays out in that arena, right? And at a time of tight resources, you know, we're going to have to play the game carefully. That said, you know, the rest of our athletics is also incredibly important. I mean, look at gymnastics, look at Jade Carey, and look at all the successes she's had.
Sure.
And so, you know, Olympic sports are going to be important in the U.S. All of us universities got to be thinking what the future of those other sports is. They're all important.
Indeed. Jayathi Murthy, the president of Oregon State University, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Now our reporter, Zach Ziegler, talks about how around 2,500 former customers of eWeb have been moved to a smaller but more localized utility. KLCC's Zach Ziegler, thanks so much for coming in and chatting.
Yeah, sure thing.
Yeah. Saw the story that you filed about a transfer of customers from eWeb. Talk about this story. Why did this happen?
Yeah, so the area that's basically up the McKenzie River from right about the McKenzie Highway's intersection with Thurston Road all the way up to Vida. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about 2,500 customers is getting transferred over to Lane Electric Cooperative. And this is something that they've actually been talking about doing for about 12 years.
Huh. And was it that they weren't a viable customer for eWeb? Is that kind of the situation?
So the concern has always been that, you know, eWeb is 97% urban, suburban customers, and this is a rural area that's a little ways out of their service area, so it can be a little hard for them to get out there. when the power goes out. And so they'd actually been waiting over that decade plus for Lane Electric Co-op's rates and EWEB's rates to get close enough that it wouldn't be a real pain for these customers. Things reach there, and so now they're going to make the swap and hopefully get a little better service from Lane Electric.
Yeah, talk about that. Talk about some of the benefits that customers might see.
Yeah, so a big one for them will be when the power goes out. There's mm-hmm. a likelihood that Lane will be a lot better at getting it back on quicker. So, you know, if you're a service technician for EWEB, you know, you've got your truck at the lot that's over here in Eugene. Getting up to that area, you'd get dispatched. You'd take 30 plus minutes to get up there. You diagnose the problem. Maybe you don't have the gear on your truck. Now you got to go back, or you got to have someone else come out who is trained to do this. It's a big hassle. Whereas the crews for Lane Electric, the guys live in the area.
Mm-hmm.
They keep their trucks at their homes. They have a little wider variety of tools that might help, especially with these problems. You know, there's a little difference in the problem, so they're more likely to carry something like a chainsaw, because a branch is touching a line and causing it to ground and short out, or issues like that.
Interesting. I guess more local knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's also the hope that, you know, Lane Electric has some territory north of this. They are hoping to connect that grid into the system. And now you have redundancies, which always helps because, you know, if a power line gets taken out and there's only one going into the area, that area is without power. If you have two, that electricity just reroutes around and comes in, and you still, you know, you don't necessarily see as big of a hiccup in service.
I see. Did these customers, did they have to do anything, or was it pretty seamless switching from EWEB to Lane Electric?
It was pretty seamless. Usually with things like this, I remember covering a similar one, actually, that mm-hmm. happened a little northwest of Eugene earlier this year. And they said, yeah, like they start sending notices in the mail. Hey, you're going to get a different bill from a different company starting soon. You'll have a new account number. So if you do things like online bill pay, you'll have to set up that new account. But don't worry, this isn't someone trying to defraud you out of money. Your service is actually switching to a new provider.
Something we always have to look out for.
it is the day and age.
Yeah, it is. Zach Ziegler, reporter for us at KLCC. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, no problem.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, we'll get an update about what the governor and other officials are saying and worrying about for our upcoming fire season. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.